the grace of God is above all carnal understanding. A friend of faith asks for prayers of intercessions that God would give understanding and that would be given power in strong doubts and problems. A friend of faith asks for prayers for a close one who has become sick, would a believing family asks for strength for childlessness so that they could possibly have their own child and so that trust and hope would be returned. Let us pray. Almighty God, all-knowing God, to you everything is possible. You have promised to hear the weakest prayers of your children. You know the need of these people. Show their life the correct path. Let your will be done, God. Amen. For this sermon, I will read from the Gospel according to Mark. From its 9th chapter, verses 33 to 37. And the words are as follows in Jesus' name. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?" But they kept silent, for the road they had disputed among themselves would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and a servant of all." Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." Amen. In that sermon verse that we sang of this part of the Bible, the sermon verse is many times chosen by the speaker, and it many times refers to the sermon, but this sermon verse has a very special meaning. The task of the sermon verse is to prepare the hearts of the listeners to the hearing of God's word. In this way, we can think that services do not start from the service, the speaking, but from the verse. The verse coming after the service is either chosen by the next speaker or it is the answer of the listeners. In this part of the Bible, Jesus is with his disciples. And it is titled in this way, Journey to Jerusalem. Jesus is here journeying through villages and preaching the joy message of the gospel, and he is now traveling to Jerusalem for the last time. And we remember that how Jesus was riding to Jerusalem in that way, that his suffering road began there. And there in Jerusalem, he experienced that suffering, and the road of the cross began there. But here, nevertheless, Jesus has here stopped, and apparently this Capernaum is, it is said that it was the home village of the disciples, and also Jesus lived here in Capernaum. They lived possibly in relative of Peter's, and now they have come there home, and Jesus asks the disciples a question. What was it you disputed amongst yourselves on the road? I believe so that Jesus knew of what was spoken on the journey, but he nevertheless wanted to get an answer from the disciples about this. And these disciples were silent, for they were embarrassed. In this Bible portion is used disputed, or in the Finnish translation it says spoke of, but here in the older translation it says disputed. And Luke writes that, what did you argue about? They had argued about that, who is the greatest, not physically or in other ways greatest. How Matthew specifies that who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Or maybe we could translate it in this way, who is the best believer? Who would possibly have the best place, so to speak, in heaven? We do not know how this argument happened. I have sometimes thought of it could have been interesting to see this from above, and to see this, so to speak, as a fly on the roof, to see this situation. Was there possibly Peter and Andreas, Peter's brother, had they lifted themselves greater than others? They possibly or theoretically might have had this kind of a reason for this, and that reason might have been that we were first, the first disciples that Jesus first asked. Or was it possibly that Jacob and John, could have their motive been that they were the cousins of Jesus? If we look at the text of the Gospels, comparing them, the sons of Zebedeus, their mother was the sister of Mary, and this way John and Jacob were related to Jesus, and in this way these boys, John and Jacob, were spoken of as the boys of lightning, and possibly because they were a bit aggressive. In the Gospel of Mark, in a different part, it is said how Jacob and John had tried to achieve greatness, and they asked Jesus, when your brightness comes, let us sit next to you, one of us on the right and one of us on the left. And Jesus answered, you do not know of what you are asking. I cannot say who or command who sits on my right and on my left. The places are for those who they are meant to be. When the other disciples heard of this, they did not, of course, like this. They did not like it that two disciples in this way were asking for the best places from Jesus. And Jesus goes on in this way that in your midst, who wants to be, if anyone desires to be the first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Was it possibly this trio, Peter, John, and Jacob, did they think they were the greatest? They all had this kind of a motive for, they had a motive where they were on the Mount of Zion with Jesus and they had seen prophets there. And here in this portion of the Bible, Jesus asks, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? And it is said here how the disciples said that they were silent and they were embarrassed that they had come to dispute among such a matter. And in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says in this way, unless you are converted and become as children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as the little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In here, it is commanded that we must turn. The disciples here were maybe a little bit lost. Their sight was, they were maybe blinded a bit of how they can stay believing and make it to heaven. They possibly thought of that their place in heaven was already sure, and in this way disputed amongst themselves who was the greatest. And Jesus here asks in the Gospel of Matthew, is written that they should humble themselves, and in the finished translation, to turn. And what does it mean to turn? Here it says to turn into the direction of childlike faith. Who among us is the greatest? There is not in the kingdom of God such a hierarchy of who is greatest and who is lowest. We are all as small or as small. We are not in a type of hierarchy of who is greater or smaller. But nevertheless, this portion of Bible tells us that one is the greatest, and this is a child. Jesus clarifies his speech. Jesus did not wasn't satisfied that he told who is the greatest, but he wanted to clarify this by taking a child. We do not know the age of this child, but in the original language uses the word binial, which means around a 13-year-old, and in this culture, the position of a child was the smallest. And during the time of Jesus, children died very much. there were many, many rejected children, many families rejected sick children, but they also rejected children because they thought that they do not have enough financial resources to keep them. Families would reject children to the marketplaces or on the sides of roads in that hope that somebody would take their child to be raised up. Many diseases, poor hygiene and hunger and the affected very much to this child mortality. Think about it in this way, that children, Jesus might have taken this kind of a rejected child to the midst of the disciples. Take this children as this child as the example of faith. And why? Because Jesus wanted to make the small great and the great small. In a certain verse, we sing in this way, it is possible for God to raise a poor and to bring a rich to the road of poorness. God lifts and lowers. Jesus was himself an example of this humbleness. This child of God could have rode to Jerusalem in the way that the kings of that time rode, with great clothing and all greatness. But how did Jesus come ride into Jerusalem? On top of a donkey. There was no one to escort him there. There were only disciples and people who cheered Hosanna to the Son of David. In the letter to the Philippians, it's written in this way, let it be also to you this kind of a mind that Jesus Christ had. He had he gave up of his own, took the portion of a slave, and lived as a person amidst people. He lowered himself and was obedient until death. With this kind of an example, Jesus himself worked. Do we have, as the believers of this time, do we have a possibility to come as children? For Jesus said in this way, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of children. It is child-minded. It doesn't mean that we'd be childish, but that we would believe as children believe. Yes, we do have, as the believers of this time, we do have a possibility to come as childlike. For this childlike is living by faith. We have to believe and push our carnal understanding behind us. This requires we remember this, how it is written, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich to come into the kingdom of God. As childlike, we do not think of matters through carnal understanding. We do not question everything. we humble ourselves. We are humble and we are obedient to the word of God. Luther says in this way, Christ wants us to become as children. If we want to have our mind to become into the children of to the kingdom of God, we need to cover our carnal understanding into the dirt. For otherwise, faith does not have room in our hearts. The word of God makes the smart unknowledged. And here we heard, or possibly yesterday we heard, of a Syrian who had the sickness of spitals. Do you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how Naaman was cured? There was a small child in his house. She was a richness of war. When this small child saw his father Naaman, the sickness, and she said in this way that I know where we can find a cure, that where my father can find the cure, and the prophet Elisha was brought to this house and was able to cure them. And it is written here in the Book of Kings, and in my opinion, it is a very beautiful way. When Naaman was cured, it is written in this way: his skin became like the skin of a child. There were no scars. It was clear and clean. The sickness of is many times compared as a sinful conscience. We can think in this way that Naaman became into the kingdom of God, and this small child worked as a worker of the kingdom of God. Many of you listeners who have a family, or who remember from your own childhood, there are many of those touching experiences, how this small child can stop the daily life in with their small and wise words. I thought I would bring one of my own experiences here to be shared, even though I have many times shared this. It was approximately 20 years ago. In my own personal life, I had a hard time. It was such a situation, how I would be able to go on. This crisis went on for many months, and with my wife, we tried to hide this from our children, that they wouldn't hear or know about this crisis. And one day, I went to work, and I found from the pocket of my jacket a small note from my six-year-old that read, "Remember to pray, Dad. I have thought about this, that children see these crises. They are able to see if things aren't going well. In this situation, my child was able to work as an angel for the work of God. and showed me where to find our security in our crises. And even when I read these prayers of intercession, I thought that God has promised to listen to all, even the smallest prayers. And these small prayers are said to be a loud holler in God's ears. And Jesus writes, says in this way, if who receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Do we, dear brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, can we decide to take children into our family or not? This children is a gift of God. It is not a very clear matter. I will return to a prayer of intercession before this sermon, how they pray that these family has asked for a prayer of intercession that they would be able to have children. I know that many are battling with this matter, that they are unable to get children. I want to console you that for God nothing is impossible. Pray, ask, and God will listen, and in everything, and after all, the will of God will happen. The doctrine of Christianity tells us that all life has purpose, and that it is holy and precious. Children teach us. It is important that we have children in our different duties of the congregation. It is important that we bring them to services, Bible class, Sunday school. It is the rooting into the kingdom of God. It is very important, even in that purpose, that the child will hear the kingdom of the word of God. Even though the child may say that the speaker speaks in such a way that they do not understand very much. And even I remember from my own childhood that I did not understand much of the sermon. But it is important that the gospel is preached. Oh, if the preaching of the gospel would be remembered in our families, in day-to-day life. Last winter, I kept a lesson of faith, and the students said in this way, that oh, if my parents would come even to my room, that they wouldn't only be with these younger siblings, that they would come and preach me the gospel also. Many of us parents probably feel weakness in this, that why is it so hard to go into the room of our youth to preach the gospel? This gospel brings to them also power. It is counseling also for them. With the gospel, they also have strength to believe. Luther reminds us of this when the parents preach the gospel to the children. The parents are the apostles of the children. They are the priests of the children, always when they preach the gospel. I will still stop around the matter that why a child, why is this faith of a child, why is it so pure and living, so honest? There are not those carnal thoughts, these doubts that come from carnal thoughts. When this carnal understanding brings through the enemy of souls these doubts, when I think about this word doubts, I experience it as a middle ground between believing and unbelieving. It's not pure faith or pure trusting. Isn't the definition of faith a strong trust? How does a child trust in God? Doubting is not pure trusting, but it is not either pure unbelief. There we are battling with our mind. Which is true? Or what is true? But this doubt might bring us to that, to the side of unbelieving. And that's why we preach and many times ask for those doubts to be forgiven, so that we could take these doubts away from our souls and be able to replace them with the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, so that in our conscience it could affect in our conscience, so that it would affect our thoughts and actions, and we older ones doubt much more than those small children. What is the subject of doubts? I'm sure there are many subjects, but I believe that many times it is this doubt. Am I gonna make it to heaven? Am I on the right road? Am I believing in the right way? A Song of Zion consoles us in this way. So many times a believer is afraid, will I make it to heaven? Our road is already there, so the Bible says. In this way we can, in these Obispus services, last day of the Obispus service, we can believe as a child. Let the prayer of every one of our hearts be that, dear Heavenly Father, do not ever allow me to grow, to be great. Do not allow me to ever be great in my own faith, too great or strong in my own faith, but allow me to stay in the simple faith of a child. Believing is, after all, a very simple matter. It is a matter of joy. Let us take example from children in this, how children rejoice in faith. In this way, all of you listeners can, who this sermon goes out to, believe as a child, very simply, all sins, doubts, and temptations forgiven. To all in the places that this sermon is heard, you can lift up your heart in Jesus' name and blood. Believe all sins forgiven. And when I have prepared this sermon and thought, and even through this corona, I have had much time to think about this sermon. There has been many kinds of thoughts. There have come such thoughts that, why me? Who am I to speak of faith matters to others? But we can also think of this in this way, that I am not myself speaking, but the Heavenly Father is opening His word through us weak, also through us doubting servants. I want to ask for my own doubts forgiven. Can I stay believing? In this way, I also want to believe together with the children of God. And we can take security in that. Like in many sermons has been spoken of here, that God takes care of His own. I am reminded of the prophet Hosea, of how he speaks of the care of God. When we translate it from the original language, that God looks at us. If you think about it, we are under the eyes of God until the end of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.